not concerned really with the book you write, the painting that you do, unless the motivation has been, it's done for Baba, done for him. Because that is where the change of consciousness comes in. Which is, after all, the experience of life, isn't it?
What strikes me is that these thoughts are so powerful, and that the what you say about these four words after you finish this whole thing going through your mind.
Yes.
You know, my feeling as you were relating these thoughts and telling the stories of the examples of Baba, I was going through some reviewing of my own mind how these ideas related to my own life, and then I felt a kind of freeing within my own heart and kind of expansion. But it occurs to me, you know, that we are bound to delusion, and that part of freeing Baba from our hearts is also that Baba is tied, is bound with them.
He is
and
bound.
And we have to, it's a strange thing.
Yes.
We have to accept the fact that sometimes we feel that love and that joy and that expansion, and we're in a position or we're able to share that with those around us. And yet at the same time, each one of us is responsible for being alone and taking care of ourselves and surviving and accepting the suffering in the Christian sense.
Yes.
And then we get a little of that love and of that expansion too, you know.
Oh, yes. You can't lean on anybody else. That Father makes that so clear. You have to work yourself. But, yes, that consciousness is that love, isn't it? In consciousness. Right? Are there any other questions you'd like to ask? Right? First of all, one thing comes to my mind that Adi said, it's in one of the Divyavanis, when Baba told him to think of him in everything that he did. So he said, well, then, when I write the composition at school, then am I to think of you, Baba, when I'm writing, or of the composition that I'm doing? So Baba put it this way. Baba said, before you begin to write, just say my name or think of me, then go ahead and do your best, and when your composition is finished, then remember me again. It's a question of remembering me and of keeping Baba close, really. But Baba, when he was giving us that provisional ego, and it's all spoken about in the discourses, it is there, it was that we were very ego, we're all very, very selfish, and all we're always squabbling amongst each other in nasty. It was very difficult. We were different nationalities, and therefore Baba gave it as a way of eliminating the ego, you see. Instead of it being your ego which was doing something, the provisional ego was that it was Baba getting it done through you. And Baba said, just think of me before you do whatever you're going to do, because that does alter the motivation of everything you do, because you're doing it for Baba straight away. You're not doing it for yourself. You're painting the picture for Baba. You're playing the part of whatever you're doing on the stage for Baba. And the dancers have told me, Margaret's dancers have said, to dance, giving the dance to Baba, is a completely different thing than dancing for your own enjoyment. The enjoyment really should be, I know there is enjoyment of doing it for yourself, but the real enjoyment should be that you are doing it for Baba, to please Baba. Baba wants you to make use of the talents that he has given to you. Because what is most important is the experience that of what you're doing for Baba that remains with you always, whereas the picture you're painting or the book that you have written can be destroyed and doesn't exist any longer. But the experience that you have gained from doing that remains eternally with you, and especially if it has been part of your experience with Baba in the doing of it. I don't know whether I've made that point clear. Motivation with Baba is everything. Hello.
I'll put in a nickel's worth. Do
yes, do.
Do you have an absolute conviction about Baba and what he says? Then there is no intellectual problem.
I think that's quite right. I think Adi brought that out, you see. If you really are convinced that Baba is the real being,
and that Baba is,
you just give it to Baba. I mean, you give it to God straight away. But I think how many opportunities we've lost because we never could really live with that conviction that we are God. Or we are, as Baba says, you are God, really.
Isn't that what Baba says in the last page of God's Fiction? I all have read the end of the book first.
Oh, yes, right. All of this
is written to appease the intellectual compulsions of the heart.
Oh, I always say that page in there, Baba says, God cannot be discussed or argued about. He can only be lived and experienced, do you see?
Doesn't he also say somewhere, this comes to my mind immediately, the statement of, rather you should think that God has become you than you are God.
Yes.
Here.
Yes, and of course it isn't right. It isn't a correct statement to say you are God, because you are not. You're God in unfolding Himself within you, aren't you? Really, it is an unfoldment within. And if the whole purpose of life is this one consciousness, therefore take every opportunity one can of growing in that one consciousness. And one way of doing that, as Baba says, what are you thinking of? Why did Baba continually every half hour ask the mandala, what are you thinking of? And all Baba was perfectly happy if you said, oh, you were thinking of him. That's just what he wanted. I mean, half the things that Baba gave us, as I look back on it, was, as far as I can see, to get your consciousness to be on him. And if he is God, then what higher motivation can there be for anything that you do?
Isn't that roughly equivalent to holding on to his demand?
That's right. Keeping him close. The last thing Baba said to us, I'm sorry to interrupt you, is keep me close consciously. You see, it's not any good to keep Baba, say, oh yes, I keep Baba close when your mind is elsewhere. Keep him close consciously.
Kitty, my understanding of what you said and what Baba says in the discourse is about the provisional ego, is before you begin something and all your actions, dedicate the thought. Baba is doing this through me. And in your answer, there's a slightly different slant on that, which is, I am dedicating this action, parentheses of mine, to Baba, which is.
No, Baba's, the first one is, as I understand Baba saying
right.
It, I actually am doing it. Because Baba went on to say, who is sitting in the chair? Are you sitting in the chair or is it God? He said, you couldn't move a finger if I wasn't there, do you see? So that God is the actor. And what did I read? Baba said he was the, in every part that was played, I am the actor, didn't he?
Right. Now, again,
I play all the parts.
That brings up another question, playing all the parts. That has to include in each of us occasionally then Baba playing the part of the villain.
Absolutely, of the robber.
You know, in a sense, if you have the thought, sort of simultaneously, both aspects of it, I am dedicating this action to Baba. Baba is accomplishing this through me.
Yes.
Maybe that will prevent you from punching someone in the nose or tripping them.
It may
but
be.
At the same time, maybe
yes.
It won't, because
no.
You have your sanskaras
that
are impelling you at the same time. One of the difficulties I have with provisional ego is Baba is doing this through me, but this action is not in line with my understanding of compassion or grace or wisdom.
Yes,
because
it's
stupid and
of course, but it's an illusion and it no longer exists once it's been done. No, I think it's a very difficult thing to think that Baba is both the robber and the robbed. Baba said every action. But you see, that is karma. You can't get away from those actions, can you?
But you should not let the fact that your intellectual concept of Baba says Baba couldn't be doing this through me get in the way of understanding the transition.
Wait a minute. I think Baba has his answer there because he said, the last thing he said before he passed on, he said, today is my crucifixion. This is my crucifixion, that we all do these things through ignorance, Baba says. We act as we do through ignorance, and that is Baba's crucifixion. And you see, Baba can't help that. Baba has given us this free will, he's given us this law of karma, and therefore we are bound to make the mistakes. And the mistakes is Baba's suffering.
So the mistakes.
That is Baba's real suffering, not being nailed on a cross. It is how much he suffers by the ignorance of our actions, which cause so much pain to others. Is that.
Well, I'd just like to take that.
Yes.
A little bit further from my own understanding. So you're saying that our actions, which are mistakes, which do hinder the development of our consciousness of ourselves at Baba, are still Baba doing these actions because the suffering is necessary for human creation.
I believe that, right? I think Baba said that over and over again. He has to suffer. This is his suffering. And his suffering is caused by him giving us this free will to act as we choose. And therefore, as I say, every day the question is, what have we done? Have we bound Baba more, or have we freed him more, do you see? What pain have we given him with our actions?
And then what Ned said about these questions disappear with an absolute conviction of Baba.
I know, but how can you live with that absolute conviction all the time? It's very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
I say, but it's so difficult to live with that conviction. And Baba didn't give it to us at the beginning, or else we wouldn't have had that free love with Baba. Just imagine what life would have been if we really believed Baba to have been God in those early days. Our love would have been, wouldn't have been free. It would have been so different. Baba didn't want us to have that conviction to begin with, I don't think. Well, we never had it anyway.
For me, it was a spontaneous business.
Well, that's wonderful.
That was when I sat next to him, he leaned over and put a nut in my mouth, and I looked right in his eyes, and that's when I knew who he was.
That's wonderful.
So he asked me, he said, well, how did you know, what did you know he was? And I said, well, I knew he was God in human form.
Yeah.
And he said, did you know he was the Avatar? I said, I didn't even know what an Avatar was.
No.
That didn't have anything to do with it, see?
Right. Okay.
I suppose that's what is an absolute conviction? What is known as gnosis, isn't it?
As knowledge, divine knowledge, which we cannot
have.
May I just answer your question? Which Baba says you cannot truthfully say you have until you are on the same state of consciousness as I am. He says you can only believe it through faith. He says you've got to be on that same level of consciousness to know that.
Therefore, an absolute conviction is equivalent to holding on to his demand through faith.
Yes, right, through faith, right. You can't
right,
do
it. It's not
that
gnosis, though. It's not knowledge.
Not divine knowledge.
Knowledge is not conviction.
It's faith. Isn't any intellectual.
No,
it's faith.
No, it's faith.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You must have faith until such time as the veil is withdrawn, as I think some people have had it withdrawn, and you may have had it withdrawn at that moment. I'm going to ask Julie something. Julie, don't you find if you give your playing to Baba before you begin, it has a greater depth?
Yes.
I mean, then Margaret says the same in her teaching, and I think all of us will feel the same if we can give whatever we do.
Caught the end of it. Until it was withdrawn at that moment, what were you saying just before that? I didn't
to Julie?
The veil.
About what?
The veil.
Oh yes, I think that Baba does and can withdraw the veil and you see him as he really is. But he says the closer you are to him, the less likely he is to give you those sort of intuitive withdrawals. Oh, I do believe that some people have had it. They know in absolutely for a certainty
they
that Baba is who he is, do you see, yes. So we have to live by faith and conviction. I think we all have to go. We've all had a long day. How good the child's been at the back there. She's asleep. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming. I'm very happy to see you all. See you one day down in Myrtle Beach, perhaps. Peter, will you goodbye? I'm going to lunch tomorrow with Peggy at 12:30. So if I might come and see you, perhaps just before then.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
We'll give them a ring in the morning, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
yes.
Say goodbye.
No, I won't.
Say,
yes. Fine.
Nine,
yes.
Ten,
right, right.
Yes. We'll see you then.
Yes, right.
Just wonderful. Just wonderful, brings so many things back to mind.
Goodbye. See you then.